Amen. Spent a little time today or this week. I have the Lord just kind of been speaking to me just about our in relationship with the Lord, just walking with a pure heart. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, but I want to read one scripture before we get there. And it says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Again, pursue peace with all men and pursue sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And the sanctification is just a process of walking in holiness. Okay? Apart from our standing with God, we are holy in His sight. Now we have to walk it out, what's true about us, so we have to walk it out. And that's called sanctification. Scripture says without that process going on in our life, then we won't see the Lord, you know. You know what I mean by we talk about seeing Him? He won't be real in our daily lives, okay? Because we know the pure in heart see God. It's also good to see Lois and Robert with us. Yay! I just had a dream last night, Lois, of you being in church. I had a dream about you last night, and you were here. So the Lord's really going to bless you. I believe that. So it's good to see them. Keep them in our prayers. Okay, 1 John chapter 1. Yes? Amen. Amen. That's what we need is His presence, right? I had to get out of my little suit there because my neck's really pinching, and that just that little extra weight there was causing more problems. So, let's get down in my cities. 1 John chapter 1. I really like this book. It's really a lot of the stuff in here. It's real pertinent to where we are today as a culture, you know. What was going on when John wrote this, there's nothing new under the sun. There's been heresy since the beginning that they had to all fight against. Particular heresy they're fighting against and when he wrote this is Gnosticism, all right? It's just kind of the worship in a nutshell. It's just kind of the worship of knowledge. Very spiritual people, Gnostics were, but they believed that through knowledge, you know, you kind of worship knowledge, and through that, a person would begin to purify themselves and become sinless, and they would really worship that. Okay, they didn't need anything else. Man had that ability to do that. I was just thinking that the Lord just kind of spoke a word to me a few months ago about political correctness, because we hear that a lot, you know. And it's a real scheme of the evil one, you know. And the whole scheme is, I believe, one of them, not to have all the insight, but one of them is to silence the voice of righteousness. You know, to silence your voice. To where you can't just disagree with them, you won't speak. You know? But it's the voice of righteousness. And when we read here in 1 John, he really puts a distinction between those who are walking in darkness and those who are walking in light. All right? Walking in light is just walking in truth, and walking in darkness is walking in sin. Okay? But people don't want to hear that word, that anything is sin. Right? And so it's just really important that we hear that word, that we get it down in us, what he's saying. But also a real encouraging word to kind of set us free in our spirits. And we'll start with verse 1, 1 John 1. "What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our very hands handled concerning the word of life, which is Jesus. And the life was manifested. We have seen and we bear witness and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy, the people he's writing to, may be made complete. So you could really say 1 John has a lot to do with fellowship. That our fellowship with the Lord and our fellowship with each other, with brothers. You know that they're both go hand in hand. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbors yourself. Okay? That if you're loving God, you will be loving your neighbor. Okay? And then he starts off in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, or God is truth. All right? We don't get to make up truth as we go. Okay? Truth doesn't evolve. Right? I always tell the people in our Bible study, if it's new, I use the word ain't. If it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. Okay? God is light. And they're telling us today, you don't need the Bible. We don't need to think like that anymore. It's nonsense. Okay? God is light. God is truth. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Okay? There's no sin. There's no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light, we walk in truth, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Okay? When we're going to be looking at that word about cleansing. Walking in a state of perpetual cleansing. We can do that. Now, so we don't get confused here. In my standing before God, I'm righteous. And I've been made holy. Okay? Scripture is real clear about that. I'm in Christ. I'm seated with Him in the heavenly places. And my standing before God is one that's eternally forgiven and righteous in His eyes. Okay? As He sees through Christ. We got that. We know that, right? That's true about me. All right? But what is true about me is not always true to me. Okay? I have a righteous standing before God, but I also now am being conformed into the image of Jesus. Now I'm walking in what is true about me, because I want to walk in holiness and righteousness, because that's who I am. We start from that position. I had a word in Eucharist not too long ago. We start from that place. So that's good, right? We start from the place of victory. We start from the place that we are righteous and holy in His sight and in standing before God. So sin, all right, has nothing to do with my standing before God. The only thing sin does in my life is hinder my fellowship with God. Okay? That's what it does. Got it? Has nothing to do with my standing. That's where the enemy will come and put fear in our hearts. But it does affect my relationship with God. Okay? And that's when we read in 1 John what he's talking about. He's writing this to Christians. He's not writing this to unbelievers. Okay? It says, I'm going to read verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? Continual cleansing. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Okay? So none of us are saying that, right? None of you actually believe that you have no sin in you, okay? Right? That's we can testify for you if you don't believe that, okay? We all have sin in us, all right? But we can actually walk with the Lord where there's a sense of perpetual cleansing, where the blood of Jesus is just continually cleansing us from sin that we confess and know about, and also the things we don't know about. Okay? Process of sanctification, in which Jesus said, remember, the Sermon on the Mount, the pure in heart will see God. And in Titus chapter 1, if you go ever read the book of Titus, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. All right? That means when God's doing a purifying in my heart, I'm seeing things through His perspective, and then all things become pure to me. But He says to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Okay? Setting the stage for this. Now, next verse is a familiar verse, one of my first verses I ever memorized. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, If we confess, that word just means agree. We're agreeing with the Lord. He is faithful and righteous or just, which we've heard Bishop talk about that before. He puts himself in a position where he has no choice but to forgive us. And again, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that incredible? Right? Because when I go to the Lord and you know, He may convict me about something, and I'm agreeing with Him that it's wrong in my relationship with Him, Lord, this is wrong. And the Scripture says what He does is He cleanses me from that, but He also cleanses me from all of my unrighteousness. Okay? That unrighteousness that I haven't really seen yet, or He hadn't revealed to me. For the rest of your life, you'll be revealing, God will be revealing places of unrighteousness or unholiness in you. Right? But in my walk, in my relationship, in my fellowship with the Lord, this is what it's all about, my relation, my fellowship, that I'm I'm just ready all the time to agree with the Lord and allow Him to show some things in my life where I can readily get cleansing from that. Okay? Or have forgiveness. But not only that, I need to be cleansed from it. Cleansed from it means it's not sticking to me anymore. Right? When you clean something, you get rid of the dirt, right? And so when He cleanses me, He gets rid of the dirt in my ears or whatever. You'll see your spiritual ears, so I can hear Him, and from my eyes, so I can see Him better. Very important word. That there's this constant cleansing as I'm walking with Him in relationship, confessing and agreeing with Him that I'm being cleansed from all of my unrighteousness. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That there's no other unrighteousness that's kind of clinging to me that would hinder my fellowship. But it's important that we confess it, or we just can come to the Lord. And again, in verse 10, if we say that we hadn't sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Like yesterday, we had a guy to come and clean our floors over at the school. He usually comes every year and, you know, cleans the floors and stuff like that. He called me the night before, about 7:30, and said, I need to come and clean the floors in the morning. Can someone unlock the door for me? You know, what time do you need to be there? And he told me, I think it was at 7:30. And so I said, okay, I'll come and lock it. And from that point on, I totally forgot about it. I mean, just totally forgot about it. Usually I would have maybe called somebody and say, hey, can you be here to unlock, someone with some keys to help out, or, you know, I could do it. So I had turned my ringer off on my phone. It was up front. So TC woke me up like at 8:15, 10 after, and they had been here waiting the whole time. So I jumped in the car to come unlock the church, you know, and everything was going through my mind to give them an excuse for why I wasn't there, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I did that. You know, which I did. Didn't get into bed till 3:30 that night. I had a really bad night, but still, in my heart, I was thinking, what am I going to tell them to make myself not look bad? You know, and the Lord just said, tell them the truth. Tell them you forgot. You know, but there was a wrestling there. You know, but I really appreciate it because the Lord, I said, Lord, that's in me, and that's unrighteous, and I'm really just lying to protect myself. You know, have you ever been caught in a place like that and then, you know, you just kind of exaggerate a bit or whatever? Well, I mean, in my fellowship with the Lord, He wants to deal with that, you know. And as we're moving into revival and personal revival for ourselves, we've got to remember what Bishop always tells us, that what we get away with in the outer court, we cannot get away with in the inner court, you know. And what Moses did before he went, you know, before the whole children of Israel crossed into the, you know, crossed the Jordan, went into the promised land, all Moses did, the Lord told him to speak to the rock, to strike it twice, you know, speak to the rock once and then strike it once, and then water would come out of it. Okay? Moses got frustrated and struck it twice. Amen. And the Lord said, you didn't treat me holy in their sight, and therefore he didn't get to go into the promised land. He got to see it from a mountain, but he didn't get to go in there. You think, well, that's not much of a deal. I'm sure all the rest of the guys who got to go in, they probably did something worse that day. But as you draw closer to the Lord, there's just things that you used to get away with that you just can't get away with anymore. Right? And that's a good thing. Why it's a good thing? Because it hinders my fellowship with him. So I don't need to have ears that turn that off, because a lot of us are so afraid of what God will say to us if I ever get quiet with him, right? That I can never come to Him and agree with what He wants to show me in my life that's hindering my fellowship with Him. Right? A very good thing. I'm confessing it. But the cool thing is, the word of grace there is that when I confess that to Him in my walk with Him, I got cleansed from a bunch of stuff I really didn't know about. You know? That I will know about because He's going to show it to me. Okay? So we're agreeing with Him. He's faithful and just to forgive me, and now He's going to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And all I had to do is just understand what He's trying to tell me is that I do have sin. Okay? And I do have need of cleansing. All right. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. Okay? Cool. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Really looking up that word advocate. You know, we know that's one who, actually it's the Greek word, almost similar to paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. But it's one called alongside to help me. One called alongside to support me, to help me, to encourage me, that when I do blow it, now Jesus is my advocate. That's called someone right beside me to help me with this. Whatever sin problem that is, okay? That's what it means. If you sin, Jesus is your advocate. He's right there, not to condemn you, you know, not to say, good grief, when are you going to quit doing this? He's there as an advocate to support, to help, to encourage you, because whatever you're battling with, Jesus battled with the same thing, and He overcame it, right? We all know this, you know, the 40 days He spent in the wilderness, you know, with the devil. Scripture just talks about the three times, but it also says that continually Jesus was tempted. Night and day, for 40 days, He was tempted with everything that you're tempted with, no matter what it is. These couple of scripture in Hebrews, I'll probably use these scripture more than any, and I've used it here, but in counseling. Listen to this. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That word means to satisfy. That propitiation means it's all been satisfied. Jesus satisfied God. The removal, cleansing of sin, but also to make you favorable in the sight of God. Right? What that word means, propitiation. Not just that it was satisfied, God was well pleased. Not only was He well pleased, and it so satisfied Him, that means it so satisfied in Him His relationship with you, but also now you have favor in His sight. Okay? Really a good thing. And because of that, for since He Himself was tempted in that which He suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. All right? So let me ask you a question. When you're tempted to do whatever, oh, get angry, you know, cuss somebody out, or, you know, whatever, greed, jealousy, envy, lust, all the sin, right? Do you ever think at that moment to ask for Jesus' help? Not to say, oh, forgive me for that thought, or forgive me for this thought, oh, Jesus, I shouldn't have done that. But do you ever think that He's actually there, having been tempted with that very thing, to come to your aid, to help you with it? I don't care how vile the thought may be, or how what the temptation may be, He's our advocate. He's there alongside you to face that through you. And y'all have heard me say this before, and you hear me say it again. Years ago, something I was battling with, you know, just quoting every scripture I knew to quote in my mind, and like this light went on in me, you know, and the Lord showed me this, like this boxing ring, or, you know. And He said, Craig, if the enemy can ever lure you into that boxing ring to fight with you, he will win every time because he'll wear you down. But if you let me step in to that boxing ring, I'll win every time. And I think it's a book of Jeremiah where he's called the dread champion, one of them, Ezekiel or Jeremiah, where Jesus is called the dread champion. So therefore, He is there to face that temptation in and through me because He's already defeated it. Okay? It'll really change the way you think, and it'll also change the way you do warfare. Right? We all know our weakness, don't we? We all know those things. The enemy knows those things. Instead of trying to face it on your own, this scripture says that Jesus was tempted in that, suffered for it, overcame it, never gave in to it, so He would be there for you. And not only that, but He would be merciful toward it. Not condemning. Merciful. Okay? One more. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Well, what time of need is that? When I'm being tempted. Okay? That you have someone right alongside of you, walking right with Joey, when Joey's struggling with anything, you know, rejection, whatever, saying to him, "Joey, I was tempted with that very thing too. There's compassion for you. And I'm going to overcome it through you. Now draw near to me." And when he does, there's a river of grace and mercy that flows to him to overcome it. Right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So you have this much sin, it's like this whole place filled with grace to overcome it. Right? That's a relational word with the Lord. That you're walking in fellowship with Him, in relationship with Him, that He's not somewhere cheering you on, He's right there. Not only living with you, but walking beside you. He can do both at the same time. As your advocate, supporting you. You're covered by His blood, encouraging you, and then overcoming that through you and with you. Being merciful. But what's been in us since the fall of Adam is to run from Him when that happens. Right? When Adam blew it, he ran from the presence of God. We do that in our daily lives, in our walk with Him. When you and some of these times is when you know you blow it, and you blow it really bad. Okay? How do you respond to that? You're like, "Oh my gosh, the Lord's just going to, man, you know, He's going to bring down the thunder this time, or bring down the hammer on me." Well, that's not how He wants you to respond. What He wants you to do is show you your weakness in that area, that you absolutely cannot do it without Him, that He's called alongside you to face that because He's been tempted with the very same thing, and He overcame it. So He's going to overcome that within you, walking alongside you and in relationship with you. Okay? And when that happens, the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And you don't need to be afraid of, I'm telling you, anything that sin that pops in your mind or whatever you're tempted with or what you're thinking about. I was talking to a guy one time years ago. Could have been a girl, could have been a guy. Okay. They're not even from here. Nobody knows. And they were struggling with temptation, sexual temptation, homosexual temptation. So I said, "You know what? Jesus was tempted with that too. Do you know that?" They looked at me with big eyes like, "What?" You know, as though I were just like, didn't know what I was talking about. But it's true. He was tempted in all things as we are, but He didn't blow it. He allowed Himself to be tempted with that so He could be merciful and faithful and know what you're facing and come to you. Right? Or anything, you know, could be adultery. You know what I'm saying? Anything that we're tempted to face with, He allowed Himself to be tempted with that. Okay? So He could come to you in your temptation. Rarely do we ever face life like that, right? He's not ashamed to be called our brother. He's not ashamed with our failures. He's drawn to them. Because in the midst of that, He tells us to be drawn to Him. As you're drawn to Him, you will constantly have this flow. Like if this aisle was a river, there's a constant river flowing of grace of God and His mercy And anything in that flow is going to be cleansed, right? So if I'm where I am now, standing in that flow, I'm going to keep myself perpetually cleansed from all unrighteousness. Right? It's only when I move out from that, to the right or to the left, when I start having to face it, or when he says in 1 John chapter 4, or chapter 5, I believe, one of them, there are only five chapters in the end, you can read it, that God doesn't condemn our hearts. Right? And we get free from our hearts condemning us, then we're in the flow. Condemning your heart is not a way that God sets you free from something. You understand? He doesn't do that. It never works. We even condemn ourselves. Like if we're trying to do a diet or something like that, we think the only way to get started is just to beat ourselves up until we can get started on this thing, right? That's not the ways of God. Because that doesn't keep me. It'll go away because it doesn't work. He didn't create it like that. So I'm merciful. Little children, I'm writing these things to you once again that you may not sin. And if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I love how he says the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also those of the whole world. And by this, it says, we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. And by this, you've come to know him if that's how you face life. Right? That you're walking with him, you agree with what he's telling you, you're letting him cleanse you from that, and your gift back to him, or him, his gift to you, is that you see him. You see the Lord, because your heart is now being purified. Amen? So Lord, give us the grace to see that you're there to help us. With all our struggles, Lord, you overcame every one of them as our advocate. In Jesus' name, amen.